Hello and welcome everybody to Around the Battleground. My name is LHS and I'm your host. And as always, my co-host here is Justin J-Mac. I always want to say Tucker and it's not Tucker and it throws me off every single time.
That's the whole fun of it.
McClanahan, right?
Yeah, you got it.
There we go. We are going to be talking about season 6 SPL rosters that were announced. It's been a while since we had a show. We didn't do it this week because our producer had something going on, so we had to push it till today. And then before that was the Halo event, and I think the week before that was Christmas or something along those lines.
It's like New Year's, Christmas around that time, so.
Right. So, and just the simple fact that it's been a while for J-Mac and I to sit down and talk because there's been no news. There has been nothing to talk about, so it's just been me doing the interviews with coaches and players and things like that. And that's been fun, but it's not been the meat and potatoes. And I also apologize for my camera quality. We were sitting here trying to figure it out. That's why we started a little bit later. For whatever reason, my camera has decided to go potato quality. So we're looking into figuring out what has caused that. So bear with us for today. So I guess first off, J-Mac, how are you? How have you been enjoying the little bit of a break we've kind of had?
It's been pretty nice, honestly. Getting a little bit of breathing room more than anything on a lot of things. I actually got to do, I think, 2 podcasts in the span since I last was on here. So I joined the Split Push guys, and then I did the Battleground of the God guys as well. Both of those are a lot of fun podcasts to jump onto. So got a lot of... It's also fun talking to like those groups because they're not the PC people. Like usually I only stick to, you know, talking to the PC people. And then, you know, there's a few like console people that I know that I talk to that are like Sinister. Phoenix is one of the big console people that I know. But talking to like a whole other perspective is a lot of fun, honestly.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun because like my entire time with, you know, Smite content's always been focused on competitive side. So whenever I go and talk to like... This is going to sound wrong, but you know, the casuals, right? Like the guys who are focused on that side of things. Like it's always interesting because like they have a very, you know, different day-to-day experience than I do with the game and everything around it. So I've liked going on those shows in the past and maybe I'll have to show face around there. I always try my best like to shout those guys out too when I have a chance. I know there's just recently there was a guy trying to become the next J-Mac doing casting and everything. He was looking for podcasts and stuff for Smite and shows to watch, and I, you know, plugged our show and then plugged like Battleground of Gods and stuff like that. But all right, so that's enough of that. With all the small talks out of the way, we've got a lot to talk about on this show. The season 6 rosters have been announced. They are actually, this is really cool. Shout outs to our producer Tone. They are scrolling by on the ticker at the bottom. Each team, and that's really cool. So if you forget where we are, if you get the team, what we've said, you can just look down right there and you can see everything. But let's get started with rosters. We're going to start, I guess, at the top. We'll go from top down on this list here. And first up is Splice. Can't really say anything there. Splice doesn't make any changes, keeps everybody around, keeps their coach. The coach is a big deal because there's not a lot of coaches moving forward. We'll talk about that as we get to some of these teams that don't have a coach listed. Is there anything that really surprises you about the world champ sticking together, or is if it's not broke, don't fix it?
Nah, it's a classic case of if it worked out great for them. I think that this last LAN more than anything was a battle of the coaches over anything else. Obviously, a lot matters when it comes down to the battleground itself. But Splice keeping not only their team, but having their coach as well, I don't see any reason to change this. I really don't think that there is a mid or a hunter or anything like that to replace these players in this current roster. I don't think anybody could fit their build as well as Mozwell and Cyclone are right now. And I think that it showed so well last time. Obviously, they tried to ban Sino during Worlds, but when it came down to it, a lot of their focus was banning Mozwell and keeping Cyclone off of his 2 big gods.
Yeah, pointing out Cyclone and Mozwell, I think, is the right way to go because, you know, at one point, Cyclone was getting towards, like, there was rumors of, like, retirement, right? That he was done, couldn't do it anymore. Mozwell had looked strong in the SML, and then once he got to the SPL, it took a while for him to warm up. And then, you know, once we saw him at Worlds, he really only played those AOE, area denial gods, your Opwash, Zeus, things like that, Vulcan even. So a lot of the same vein of gods, and we were really wondering, you know, not to say that the bad player or anything, but on a championship squad, if they were going to make any changes, those would probably be the two roles to look at moving forward. Get a little bit more experienced mid, maybe get you can't even say a veteran ADC because Cyclone's been around forever, but maybe a better hunter. You know, Ataraxia was floating around as a free agent, things like that, you know. Arkel, maybe those players were there. I don't hate them sticking together, though. If it's not broke, don't fix it. I definitely think this team has grown together. I mean, this is the NA version of like a single year rival, right? Like, this is the team that like stuck through it, didn't make any changes. They throughout the season itself, except for, I guess they did, right? They brought in Mozwell for best. So I mean, you're already contradicting myself. It's been a long time since we've been in the Smite stuff, but
didn't they trade out best really early on in the season, if I'm not mistaken? It was fairly early.
Yeah.
Best didn't stick around. I know the last split was all Mozzie. So the split that mattered, which now all splits matter.
Yeah. So
moving forward on that.
Right. So I like this roster sticking together. Again, I don't even think I would have looked at Cyclone as much. I think I would have put Mozwell and then Cyclone. There's just a lot of mid power in the SPL right now. But, you know, overall, can't really say anything bad about the, you know, this roster. It's a world championship roster. It'll be interesting to see how they perform, you know, on LAN and if they continue to improve as a team. And, you know, Divios doesn't have to play on ping anymore forever. Oh, and that's kind of a big deal.
That's a scary,
right?
that's really scary.
It really is. That this is a guy who's been playing on, like, you know, there's a few players in the league who have been playing at this top level but have been playing at horrific ping, and he's one of those guys. And now that he doesn't have to worry about any of that, he can actually just play the game. You saw what he does at LAN. Divios is a LAN monster. So that's Splice. Moving on, we've got United. United changes things up a lot. We've got Vettium. Going back to Vettium, changing his name back from Clout, thank God.
Thank God.
So we got Vettium, Kalas, Big Man Tings, Ice, and then rounding off that roster is Benji, and no coach announced for this squad. So that's a really interesting squad to me. I'm really curious to see. I've got my own opinion. I want to hear what yours is, J-Mac. How do you feel about this squad and what its potential is?
A lot of players and a lot of the high-res analysts have said that Vettium is one of the better hunter players in the game. I feel that is not an understatement at all. He's very much so a role player. He knows how to play safe. He knows when to play aggressive. He knows that my role is wait until 25 minutes to sit here, stay safe, farm up, and then I'm going to help carry this team in the end game. We saw what he did with Luminosity. The problem was, he was on Luminosity. I feel that if Vettium was with another more powerful roster, that he could have done a lot more in that qualifying round. What really strikes me here is United is actually half of the team here, three out of the four, out of the five, is a meshing of the United and rival squads from previous years. You have Benji from Oldie United, the only one who stuck around. And then they took Kalas and Ice and brought them in together here, which makes for a really fun little mashup here, because they all three of these players know exactly what they want to play, what they want to play against, and how they work with each other. I think bringing Big Man Tings in here, as much of a power player as Wolfie has been into the past for the old rival squad, I think that Big Man was always kind of a sleeper, again, because Big Man's never really been on the Big Man teams. It's kind of a fun little play on his name. With that
I see what you
He's
did.
Always kind of been on the on some of the lower level teams, and he hasn't had that chance to shine. I think during the qualifying stage, his Discordia play was really strong. I've always been a fan of the Big Man Discordia, but he hasn't really had a team to help be able to allow him to be that carry from the mid lane that we saw all this last season from other players. Mid lane has been such a big, powerful impact, and I think that he's got enough diversity in his god pool to be able to pick this one up Vedium already knows that he is kind of that. A lot of players already know that Vedium is that really powerful ADC player who knows what he needs to do for his team every time. Kallus has gone from being the one trick Fafnir Athena to being such a diverse god or player you can't ban away from. My thing is going to be, how is the dual lane going to mesh together here? Because typically Kallus is with a slightly more aggressive hunter than Vedium, but we know that he can be aggressive. So I think that that dual lane synergy is where the big thing is going to come in. Because everybody knows it's just going to be leave Benji to do whatever he does in the solo lane. If he's going to pick, you know, Kukulin or whatever other god is, you know, met at the time, and just sit there in solo lane and just farm forever. So Ice isn't going to be as relevant over that way towards him as he will be more so in the mid and the dual lane.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting moving forward here, just because it's funny that you say like the United connection there between Benji and then Rival. But Vedium played on Envy with Pain, right? So like looking back, Vedium was also a kid of a United. So this is, it's really funny. Like I didn't think about it till you said it. And then that's what made me think about, you know, this is a Vedium and Benji have experience under the United banner, the Clerky banner, between their time with United and with Envy, right? So you, Vedium and Benji have some base synergy, some knowing of each other too, right? Then you've got Kallus and Ice are going to have that synergy. And then Big Man is kind of like the man, the odd man out in the middle, right? So I liked Big Man this last year. I think Big Man, I'm going to go out and limit say this. I think Big Man played mid better than Wolfie did this year. I think Wolfie had a down year overall. He had some moments, but I think a lot of the year, Wolfie just wasn't a presence in games. He was there. He didn't really win his team a lot of games. He lost his team a couple games, but most of the time he was just kind of there. He did his job. He didn't do it spectacularly, but he didn't fail at it a whole lot, right? That's kind of how I looked at Wolfie. He had a down production here. He had a little bit of a slump. And I think Big Man moving over from the support into the mid really surprised a lot of people. Behind the scenes, you know, a lot of people were saying, "Nah, Big Man's mid is nuts. Like, I think he can do this." And I think he really showed everybody that he can do it. This is a roster that I really have slotted as probably a dark horse. Benji is always Benji's Benji. He's one of the top solos consistently. Vedium is a top ADC, even if he doesn't get a lot of that credit from fans because he's been on some lower end teams.
Right.
And he's kind of a meme kid, but Vedium is a really good player. He's smart. He's the one who brought in a coach to Luminosity, right? He saw that they needed a coach and brought in Hythe. Now, whether you think Hythe was the right choice or not, you know, we could have that discussion, but he brought in a coach knowing that they needed that. Kallus, Ice, very competent players. Kallus on LAN against, you know, the some of these NA teams, I think, it's going to be gross. His god pool, I think his god pool is going, you know, it's funny. We talk about Kallus's god pool and how, you know, a year ago, a year and a half ago, Kallus was the guy you tried to ban out because his god pool was so small, right? And now his god pool is, you know, he can play anything that comes up in that role. And I feel like as Smite has evolved, we've kind of moved toward this more aggressive duo lane. The aggressive supports are the way to go 9 times out of 10. I think every year so far really has ended on you want more aggressive supports, right?
Yeah.
And that's what Kallus is, that new type of support. And you know, you've got the other side of the spectrum. You've got like Jeff Hendler, right? Jeff Hendler is a phenomenal support in his prime, and he was more defensive. He was more, you know, setting up plays for others. He wasn't the guy going in had first, you know, leading his team, leading the charge. He was more, you know, protect and serve. And I think Kallus is, I think the game is more suited towards the Kallus style of play right now. But that's not to say Kallus can't also fit that role. Benji is a very capable front liner, and you don't need Kallus to do that. So that'll be really nice. Ice obviously has the Odin in his god pool, very capable front liner if they want to go that role. This is a roster that oozes with potential. And I think a lot of people might sleep on it because it looks on paper, it looks like it's just made up of a bunch of outcasts from other teams, right? You look at Vetium, you're like, okay, I guess he's been around a while. You look at Collis, like, well, yeah, Collis has been pretty good on that rival squad, right? But, you know, he's no Deathwalker. And then you look at Big Man, he's like, well, what is Big Man just moved to mid? What has he ever done? Ice, you're like, well, he's kind of streaky sometimes. And then Benji is like, all right, well, Benji's a solo laner and solo lanes don't matter. So you could very easy hand wave this roster away, right? But I think this is one's going to be very strong in the middle of the pack and a dark horse to really upset some of these other teams.
Yeah. Now, this is definitely a team that at first glance just looks like it's the rejects of a bunch of others. But when you look at it, it's honestly a lot of the stronger players from some of these teams. Kalos, one of the better EU supports. Ice, one of the better EU junglers. Benji's one of the best NA solo laners out there. Big Man with his up and coming. And same with Vetium. I think Vetium was probably the best player on that Luminosity squad, if I'm being honest. I think that, as you said, this is potential to be a dark horse team. I've actually kind of been talking with some other people, kind of getting their ideas of where they rank teams. And a lot of people have had the general consensus of they're at least in the top half and have potential to be the top three pretty easily.
Yeah, I think they could find their way into the top three. It's hard for me to say that because there's a lot of good rosters here, but I'm not ready to really say that they could do it. You know what I mean? I don't know. There's a lot of potential there. I'm not ready to say they could get into the top three. But I think they have the potential. If they meet all of their potential, I think they could be a dominant force moving forward. Then moving on, we've got our next roster, Space Station Gaming, also staying the same. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Let's look. Also, Space Station not moving forward with the coach again. I'm going to say this, and it's going to get a lot of people angry and upset with me. Space Station Gaming is a bottom tier roster this year.
Bottom half.
Bottom half easy. I don't think that Space Station Gaming is going to do anything worthwhile. I don't think they can keep up. I think Smite has passed this group by. I think Barra, Jeff, Andy have kind of had their moment. I think they need to go separate ways. It's not working. I love Vin. I love Aquarius. They're both strong guys. But does that team together, I don't see them really doing anything. Am I being too reactionary to their first round exit this last year and then them not doing anything in the tournaments before?
I don't think so.
What do you think?
My initial thoughts when I looked at the rosters, my first thing was, what happened to SSG? And when I saw that they all stuck together, it wasn't a sigh of relief at all, like, oh, thank God these players are at least sticking together. They think that they've got it. It was kind of a sigh of, really? We're going to do this for a third season? Is this what we're really coming down to? That we're going to start off the new season the same way as bad LAN performances? They had one good set win at LAN, and that was it. They lost the trifecta in the placement round, which, as much as people want to say that kind of seeding round at the end of qualifiers didn't matter if they won or lost, I think it really did, because you have to go up against Dignitas if you lose that set. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Trifecta, who had lost to Insignum to start the whole tournament out. Trifecta had nothing but knives pointed at their back, ready to say, nope, you guys, you disappointed everybody. This is it. And then they beat SSG. And I looked at the squad and went, SSG's done. As soon as they lost to Trifecta, SSG was out in my book. I did not see them getting past Dig. I didn't see them getting past Dig, whether they made it there losing to Trifecta or losing to another squad later on. The only reason that SSG made it there is because they had the easiest path to make it to Worlds out of almost any of the teams. They had one of the easiest paths. I'm personally kind of tired of seeing this entire SSG roster. As much as everyone loves the Sex Tank group, I think they need to break up here. As much as everyone loves seeing the old world champions all together having fun and being little buddies, break this crap up, because I don't think that it's working at all. And the fact that they don't have a coach assigned to them yet, whether they pick one up or not, we saw what Demme was able to do. Not much with them. They did not really improve much except for in picks and bans. And outside of that, their gameplay was par.
Traditional. Par. All you can think. When you think of this roster, you think very traditional, middle-of-the-road style of playing Smite. They're not the ones breaking out Fenrir support. They're not the ones breaking out, you know, the Odin jungle. They are very strictly, you know, at a glance, this is the team that plays Smite like... Like, if they were, put this in like sports terms, right? Basketball didn't always have the 3-point line. This is equivalent to the 3-point line's been added, and SSG is still believing the way that you win basketball is with twos. You can't win by shooting threes. And then they start losing to all of these teams still shooting the two, and they don't evolve. Barracuda is a phenomenal player. I think out of everybody on this team, I'm going to exclude Vin, and I'm going to exclude Aquarius. So we're just going to be talking about Bear, Jeff, and Andy. I think out of those three, Bear's had the least amount of drop-off. I think Jeff Hinla has had the most amount of drop-off.
Yeah.
Even just looking at his world's performance, he lost them the game against Dig. At the Fire Giant pit on that side of the map, just got himself killed, got out of position. And it was very uncharacteristic of what we usually see from Jeff. And that's why it sticks out so much in my head, because Jeff was getting caught out on positioning and making rookie mistakes, and it just didn't fit. One of his hallmarks has always kind of been his positioning. And now that that's kind of starting, it looks like it's starting to go, I don't know what's next for him. Him and Bear have been together forever. I don't know that if he went somewhere else, who would replace? We're looking down the list of other supports in the SPL right now. You've got Aurore. He's not replacing Aurore. Kalas, no. Neil, maybe. Maybe a team would take him over Neil. But Neil's young.
I would take Neil over Jeff.
Right? Ionic. I could see Ionic. I could see Jeff over Ionic just because...
Ionic
hasn't played
those
in a while.
Those are the only two.
And Kiki. Those are only two. Then that's, as a former world champion, that's not what you want to hear, right? And so...
there's still Jigs, who didn't even make a team either. I would honestly take Jigs over and take Jeff.
There's a lot that goes on out of the support role. There's a lot of things that Jeff does well. Honestly, if I was going to replace anybody, we're gonna leapfrog a team to make this Jeff Hinla connection. If I was gonna put Jeff on any other team, which I think he should definitely go to a different team, I would put him on the Pittsburgh Knights, because that roster is missing. They're missing the Raffer. They're missing the Jeff Hinla, the guy who brings everybody together. They're missing that leader aspect, and I'll talk a lot more about that once we get to the Knights roster. I have a lot of feelings about that roster, but Jeff is very good at making sure nobody tilts in game. He's very good at the comms, the shot calling, everything like that. That is what he does best. And if he doesn't find his footing with the mechanics and positioning again, Jeff, I'm sorry, but you've got to step aside. Like, there's if Space Station does not perform this year, or even if we get into past the first split, into the second split, if Space Station doesn't make any changes, that's problematic for me. And I don't think these players, I don't think that org wants to go out on the bottom, and I don't think the players want to either. I think we'll finally get the players. I think Barra especially is frustrated. And I don't know where that frustration will go, because are you gonna blame it on Aquarius? Are you gonna blame it on Vin? I don't think you can. I think it's time for a change of scenery for that squad, and at the very least, a goddamn coach. Get a coach.
They have to get
you
one.
You can't win Smite at the highest level anymore without a coach, without somebody in the background, without an analyst, without somebody helping your team like that. Get a coach, SSG, please. You won't win anything without a coach.
Just leave it at this. The finalists both had coaches at Worlds. Not only did they win their first round
last year,
somewhat convincingly, they dominated their semifinals without even a struggle for both of those teams. That should tell you exactly how much of a coach is necessary, especially for a squad that's already down.
Season 5, finalists had coaches. Season 4, finalists had coaches. Season 3, finalists had coaches. Get a coach. You have to at this stage. Yep. All right, so let's get right into it, because I already mentioned them, the Pittsburgh Knights. We're going to leapfrog the other two, and we'll go back to them. But the Pittsburgh Knights is a squad that I have a lot of thoughts and feelings on. That squad is Vote, Emilzy, Zeroes, Adapting, and Deathwalker. At first glance, this is the squad to beat. It's the most talented. How can you say anything wrong about this squad? J-Mac, give me your thoughts and opinions and feelings here.
My biggest first statement onto it is this is a very emotional squad. As you mentioned, this is a lot of talent, probably some of, if not the best players in those roles for the EU team. This is a full EU team for those unfamiliar. These are some of the best players, if not the best, in their respective roles. Vote, one of the best hunters in the world, not just even in Europe. Emilzy, one of the best supports. Zeroes, probably I would pit as the best mid laner out here right now. I would even put him above Mozzie and Paul. I would say that Zeroes is probably the best mid laner, one of the most diverse in his god pools. Adapting, maybe not as big in the jungle role. He might not be the best jungler out there anymore, but he at the time was a two-time world champion, so he does have some merit to his name. And Deathwalker as well, one of those number one, number two solo laners going toe-to-toe with Benji back in the previous Worlds and making another appearance this time against Divius, who are probably the only two people I might put above him. We're looking at some of the best players. You mentioned it earlier. I'm not seeing, one, a whole lot of way to rally the troops together in this one, and I'm also seeing a lot of emotion with this team. Teams that will carry the weight of their falls on their shoulder very heavily. We've seen when NRG of the past would start losing, you notice it a lot in Adapting's playstyle. He starts getting a little more sluggish. He starts making more kind of drastic plays to try and turn a game around. You know, Deathwalker is going to be able to try and hold his own there, but a lot of the synergy this season, we'll have to see how it goes in next season, where the main focus on the map is. But right now, Adapting is going to kind of have to be a make or break for this squad. And I think this is going to be either one of the most hot squads or one of the coldest squads. And it's all going to be how they handle themselves outside of the game more than anything else.
I don't think enough can be said about this squad being emotional. And I'm going to go out and say this. It's the Zeroes curse. Look at Zeroes with Dignitas the last 2 years. What have they done? They've crumbled to the last minute. And it's not good. There's nobody on this night squad that can keep everybody in check. That's what Raffer's job was at NRG. On Dignitas, you didn't really have that either. I mean, you had Trickstank, but he isn't the same way. And those were a lot of emotional players as well. So it's really hard. The thing that leaps off the page is, who is the leader of the squad? Is it Vote? I don't think Vote's a leader player. Is it Emilzy? Emilzy is still really young, still immature, unless he does a lot of growing and a lot of growing up and a lot of learning into going this next year. I don't think it can be Emilzy because he gets to be hot-headed. That is one of the flaws of Emilzy, right? You look at Zeroes. Zeroes is about perfection. If it's not perfection, it's wrong. I don't think Vote and Deathwalker have really played with that type of drive and desire to win, that desire for perfection that is demanded from somebody before, and that could be a problem. Adapting, very emotional as well. Like, these are, this team wins when everything goes their way. This team loses as soon as they have to claw their way back into it and have to untilt themselves. They've got a coach, unlike a lot of these teams. They've got Rowe coming back to coach them, which is a good thing. But looking at this roster, even with a coach, I do not think that the roster in its current form, as the players as we know them, sniffs anywhere near to a world championship. I think this is the squad that everyone's going to hop onto. It's going to be the bandwagon squad. This is your Duke. This is your Alabama. This is your Green Bay Packers, your Patriots. Yeah, this is the bandwagon squad that everyone's going to jump on because they think they're going to win. And I do not think this squad can win a world championship because they don't have the resiliency. I haven't seen them have that resiliency to overcome a lot of that stuff. I mean, you put this squad in Splice's shoes, game two at Worlds, they don't win it. They don't win that game, they lose that game. Splice had to untilt themselves, had to pick themselves up from behind in game two and go on to try to win that game, and they did. And I don't see that in this Pittsburgh squad. I'm open to be proven wrong. You know, I like Emilzy. I like Deathwalker a lot. I would love to see them get a win. But I don't see it. And I'm very interested to see how this squad does as the year goes on. Going back up, we have SK Gaming. That's just trifecta. It's Zatman, yeah. Neil, Paul, Sanford Soccer Scary D. No coach listed. But I imagine that either this trifecta squad or E-United have got to be able to pick up I'm blanking on his name.
Shadow Chair was Trifecta's coach last time.
So Shadow Chair, but who was E-United's coach? I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Cardiac. It's Cardiac.
Cardiac.
I imagine Cardiac is going to be picked up. Exactly. I have to imagine Cardiac is going to be coaching either SK or coaching E-United. He's got, you know, E-United as an org. He's got the time with Benji, you know, but SK is a very strong roster. He could go over there. So right now, SK not listed with a coach, but still strong roster. I'll start my thoughts on this one. My biggest surprise here is I know that they said that they wanted to continue. They believed in this team. They wanted to continue to keep it together. I don't know how you move forward with Zatman and you don't explore other options, younger options, potential, right? You have Neil and Paul and Sam as your core. Why not go all in on the youth movement and maybe get, maybe you reach out for Wowie. Maybe you make a play for Ataraxia or Arkel or Funball, something like that, right? Vetium, you do that. I think that would, Zatman was very, very streaky all year. And a lot of the time, Zatman's job was to not get in the way of other players. They put him on Nuwa. They put him on characters where he didn't have to do anything. And his whole thing is, if Zatman didn't feed, we have a chance to win this game. And then Zatman, you know, deserves an amount of respect. He's a very veteran player. He's done a lot for the game. But Zap did not show me a whole lot this last year. And I don't know that I like more so than like looking at, you know, Splice and Monswall and Cyclone. I actually would look at this SK roster and say, why are we moving forward with Zatman? To a lesser extent, Scary D. Scary D has definitely proved the knock on Scary used to be he could not play the early game. He's a guy that you hope doesn't feed early and makes it to 10, 15 minutes where he could actually play the game.
If you can do that, you can win. Scary D has made leaps and bounds in his ability to play the early game, especially facilitated by the meta, because it's all Guardian, it's all slower pace. The solo lane isn't what it used to be. So Scary D is now an asset at that point, because you can stick him on something and he just gets big and big and big, and then he shows up for team fights. And I think at the team fight stage, Scary D is right there next to Benji. You know, we saw Benji when they won Worlds 1v5ing as Kakalin. I think Scary D can do the exact same thing. So I'm okay with keeping Scary. Not as okay with keeping Zatman. What do you think? Am I being crazy, or did Zatman kind of maybe need to go?
I think they both needed to go. I'm being 1,000% honest here. I don't think that Scary D had any impact in the qualifiers or Worlds at all. I think that Scary D wasn't an asset, but he wasn't a liability. He was just existing more than anything. I don't think in any of the games Scary D really had much of an impact. I can't recall any major moments that Scary D had during either of those stages of play. Same with Zatman, but all we can say with Zatman is, well, he played a lot of new ADC, so people wouldn't kill him, I guess. My initial thoughts going into season 6 for this team was drop the vets, hire the young guns, bring on two yep. new players, two young players for this solo and ADC role. And this team, I think, can go so far in everything, because Scary D is the picture perfect definition of a role player. I'm just going to be here. I'm going to pick the god you tell me to pick. I'm going to play it. We move on to the next game. Oh, well. I don't think that Scary D brought anything new to the game, which is what you want to see out of solo. He never really branched out. We saw Chunga. Lots of people play Chunga and Pat. I just don't think that Scary D is an asset to the team. I don't think he's an asset or a liability.
I think he made a lot of improvements this last year. That I will 100% agree.
To his personal
that
play.
Used to be the case.
I will say.
Scary D could not play early, and you just like it was the meme. Like Scary D would play. Scary D's god was Ama, and that's like because it fit the play style. I'm not gonna win early, so why try? And as long as I can make the late, I can do beast things. The meta shifting, the shifting away from solo lane being as important, and then there was the change for Guardians, a more passive play. I think that fit Scary to a T. I think based on this last year and going into Worlds, the meta, I think they did very well. I think it fit him perfectly. I think he showed that he is an asset to that team. The question I might backtrack a little and start agreeing with you is if we move into season 6, and the meta changes back into an aggressive man lane, solo lane, and he falls back into old ways. Can he be that guy in that scenario? We'll see. I think he can. Based off of what we saw this last year, I think because he played some more aggressive stuff when he didn't have to. The Chang'a comes to mind. Nobody else was really doing that. He brought that to the table. I think Scary D has made the turn. I think he's made the improvements he needed to. And I think that unless he regresses going forward, I think he's proven to be an asset to the team. You don't trifecta doesn't go as far as they did without Scary D being an asset to that team. No matter how good Paul was, no matter how good Sam was, they don't get to that point without Scary holding down that solo lane.
I still think that. For me, what I look for in a solo laner over anything else is what new have they brought to the table? And you can say, well, him being able to survive the early game is what new he brought too. But the fact he had to build himself into that meta compared to all the other solo laners already kind of being there. There's other big names that come to mind that I would have brought over onto the team here. And my thing is, what has he done that stand out compared to a lot of other solo laners? What new has he brought? What impact has he left on the solo lane meta? Chang'a is the first guy that comes to mind for me that he's kind of popularized to being that potential as that, you know, kind of bruiser battle mage Chang'a. But when I look across the board, I'm looking at Fine OK and he did it better. Scary D is like, this is Chang'a. She's really good here. And other players like, all right, cool. We see you. I'm going to do it better. And I just didn't see anything impactful when it came to this team here. Whenever Trifecta was on the up and winning here, yes, people weren't scaring Scary D's name because he wasn't, you know, in there being the in the middle of five people, get this massive Cerber assault and throw three of them back into the carries. But he also wasn't, you know, not as a relevant point there. You know, he was just existing. And for me, I don't want my solo laner to just exist. I want somebody to be a namesake for this team. I just don't think that Scary has it all quite there. And you mentioned with season six moving forward, we have the totem of Ku that's going to be coming in. That's going to be a contention point for the first 15 minutes of the game. We don't know exactly how starts are going to be going through yet. Obviously, as the PTS goes up, we'll see where the meta starts shifting. If it's going to be this 2v2 solo in the first couple of minutes of the game, like we used to see in season 1-2, that to me is going to be the make or break for how these solo laners as a whole start coming together. We talked a lot on the Scary, but I think that's because we both agree that Zap just needs to go. He's a great player, has his respects, has his merit in the scene, but he's just not bringing anything to the table for this team. He is more of a liability than anything. And some people joke the tactical feed Zap so that way Paul and Sam can get ahead. I don't think he brings anything to the squad anymore. But with Scary D, I think that of the two, I would keep Scary. But I would honestly try and look for another solo laner at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, like, it's not as if there's not solo lane guys around and available. I mean, first one right off the bat that comes to head is, you know, Mando Warrior hasn't had a crack at the SPL again. I think he definitely deserves it. I think Mando was one of the brightest spots that last year before we went into the, you know, in season four. I think that young team he was on, I think he was probably one of the brightest spots and kind of got the raw deal by not being able to continue to compete. So you've got that. You've got kids like Dishonored who are coming up who could maybe not be your long-term solution, but give the kid a shot, right? Maybe he can do something. There's a lot of potential out there in solo lane still, I believe. I mean, you've got right? You've got guys like that. You've got guys who can in the SML who can make the step up, I firmly believe. Yeah. And you know, if we see that, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see this year if anybody gets a call up. But I don't know that we will. I think this SK roster, I think Zapman's got to be the guy you replace. But is Zapman going to be replaced because he brings in stream viewers, right? So that's an asset to SK. And that's a part of it. You don't want it to be a part of it, but that is sometimes. It's a business decision. So what are you going to do? Next up, Trifecta. Ooh, boy. Trifecta. Wowie. Good ADC. Eonic hasn't played since season four.
Competitively in a while, yeah.
Yeah. Lazbra mid. Questionable. I like Lazbra. Don't know about his mid. Weaken jungle. And then Ducky as solo. This is a squad... at the bottom. I'm gonna go and say this is a bottom two team.
I'm not gonna disagree with you at all. I have them as I think my bottom two for sure, if not at least a bottom three team here. I love Wowie. Wowie's a great guy. He's one of the better ADCs out of the SML. I think of the people who, and we have to say it like this, out of the people who were available, because you look and go, oh, well, there was other pro ADCs that they could have brought in. Not all of them wanted to make the move. We had even some players who were like, I'm not moving to Atlanta to play these. Of the people willing to move and the people who were available, I think Wowie was probably one of the better options. I don't think Eonic was the best option they could have gone for. Like we said earlier, I think that Jeff Hinla could have made a transition to this team and maybe helped them out here. Lazbra mid and Weaken jungle are my two biggest why. Lazbra showed that on Insignum, he is a standout in a competitive jungler. He is the best minor league jungler that out of EU, and I would even say we even showed out of NA. He was the best minor league jungler out there to contest and compare against the tops. They beat Sam for Soccer, who had a running at Worlds, like at the World Final, or not World Finals, but the World Semifinals. They were able to make it to. Lasbrook can compete with some of the better professional junglers, and I don't know why a team drafted him here for mid. If it's only because Weekend wanted a spot here, I think they're doing a disservice here to Lasbrook, because I think that Lasbrook is a better jungler than Weekend. If I'm being 100% honest here, I think the Weekend decision on this was similar to Zapman for SK. Maybe it's he brings in a lot of the viewers and we want to get that kind of name here for Trifecta. But looking at Weekend's performance and qualifiers, I didn't see anything impressive at all. I think that he went backwards during those world qualifiers where he had that potential strong startup, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse as each of these games went on here. And then Ducky, if I'm not mistaken, this was one of the players where a lot of people said Ducky is one of the best mechanical players in the game in his role. We'll see where Ducky goes from here. I don't have a lot of faith in this Trifecta squad as a whole. And I think in the individual roles, this is kind of very iffy. And I think the Lasbrook being in mid is probably my biggest question mark of this entire squad.
It'll be interesting. I think, you know, looking at Ducky, I think Ducky was one of the weaker parts of the old SK roster. We talked about that at length. I mean, him and Lob weren't really performing. And, you know, Fails could be kind of in there too. Do you lump him in there? Maybe, maybe not. But definitely Ducky wasn't carrying. They had a very down year. And so he's got to be able to shake that off, join this new team, be able to perform. I'm low on him, where usually I am pretty high. Weekend, if it wasn't Lab or also on the same team, I'd be more okay with it, right?
Right. I think that's why it's so odd.
It feels so weird and awkward. And then you've got Eonic, who hasn't played in a while, for whatever reason, is now there. Maybe just because he'll move. I hate to say that, but I don't know. Like,
I mean, that's a big possibility right now.
Yeah, but then is there no... I mean, let's really think about it. Is there no SML support player in NA who could make that move or who has that quality? I mean, I'm really trying to think who in the SML could do that. Pain could maybe do that.
Pain's a possibility. Who is support for Armada?
I would pay good money to see a Pain to be on and Weekend team, though. That would be a really good NA meme team.
That could go places. I mean, that could. I don't know. I think that this whole squad is just a giant, is this the best that they could get that was willing to move kind of a roster? That's what this one looks to me for Trifecta is. We got some of the best that was left that can move. I hate looking at it like that, but that's a very real possibility and outlook that we have to have for this, because we've seen a lot of NA players even say, I don't want to move to Atlanta to play in this. I want to be at the comfort of my own home because I have either school or other things or family that I don't want to move from. So that's what Trifecta looks like to me, is kind of the leftovers in this one. And while I love and we preach so much about finally let's get Lasbra on an SPL team, I don't think that this was the position that anybody envisioned, and this was not the way that we wanted to see him get there. For me, this is the biggest question mark if they're going to finish bottom three or bottom half, honestly.
Yeah, I think no matter what, I think it's bottom three, bottom two, maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of weirdness about this roster, and I just don't, especially comparing to the others, I just don't see the strength here. And I don't see them swinging for the fences with any chances too, right? I think that's a bigger deal. Like, this is not a roster that's going to wow me, and it's not a roster built to win either. So looking at that there's a lot of like weird things. So if I know I'm going to be the bottom, why not give, I mean, they're giving Wowie a shot, right? They're giving Lasbra a shot. Why not just go full into that? Get Wowie, get Lasbra, get Mando Warrior, Hell, get Ratcheteer. Go the whole nine. Ratchet. And then get like a mid, get your, I don't know, who's a good mid in the SML that you could probably grab. Sops was mid, you know, maybe go that route, you know. I think he had a really good run. That's what I, if I'm a team organizer, right, that's maybe what I do. I swing for the fences, like maybe I can get lucky, maybe I get the next Paul and Sam combo, right? But it's not what happened. So I trifecta definitely bottom three, maybe bottom two. Next up we've got Renegades, which might be one of my favorite rosters, no lie. Fun Ball ADC, Raffer support, Darnez mid, Cherryo jungle, and Nika solo. A lot of people are going to hate on this team and not believe it, and they're going to think it's a bottom tier team. Everything that we've said about Trifecta, they're going to look at this Renegades roster and say, well, it's just the same thing, but all EU. And I will contest that. Everything we said earlier about the EU-nited squad, copy-paste, put it here for Renegades. I think this Renegades could end up being a top three roster by the end of the day. Or they could be a bottom three roster. There's a lot of variance in this roster.
I don't think there's a world where this is an in-between team. This is a hot or a cold. And we're going to see it very early in the split. Because a lot of these players are made up of old SK. And we saw what SK did given their chance at qualifiers. They had their first hot game, their first hot set, but that was against the international team. As soon as they got put against somebody with any kind of big relevance, and of all people, it was Space Station that they went up against. I don't know. I think Raffer might be the glue that needs to hold this team together. But when I'm looking at Funball, Dardez, and Cherryo, I'm not looking super. I'm not looking very potentially right here with this squad.
The best player on SK, the best player on Orbit, the best player on Enix, and now he potentially has a team that won't let him down. Raffer, his chemistry with Raffer, I almost guarantee right off the bat is going to be amazing. Those are just two guys who are going to have fun, and there's going to be not a whole lot of time for them to mesh with each other, right? That's like they're just going to mesh. And then I think that'll do wonders for that lane. Funball didn't play with a good support last season. A spade is a spade. He didn't play with a real SPL support. They kind of went through a couple guys and it didn't really work out. Not to say Half Devil didn't show some potential here and there, but he just, you know, he was kind of thrown to the wolves. Wasn't fair to him, wasn't fair to the team. It was just a bad situation all around. Dardez mid is very interesting. Dardez is a guy who could play any role, be lined up in any position. And I'd be like, all right, maybe. I could see it. he's just so technically gifted. He's the EU Baskin. He could play any role, and I'd be like, all right, yeah, I can see it. He can make it work. I believe in him. Like, there's no way that I don't give the benefit of the doubt to Dardez making this transition, right? I mean, he already starts off with a really solid Nox, and you know he has it. So that's something. Then you got Cherryo jungle on land ping the entire time. That's a very scary thought. You've got Nika. Nika was the wunderkind, in season three, I believe, where he had a lot of potential and a lot of hype around him. What he could be. He could be the next big solo laner to come out. And then he kind of bounced around, got those bottom tier rosters, kind of fell off, kind of played every single role for all these teams because he was the blessed player. And he kind of fell off a little bit. And then he came back at the end of last year. And played pretty darn well. I really liked what I saw from Nika. I think he is a really good player. I think he's finally kind of meeting that potential. So you've got all of these players who have been really good players, maybe had down years here and there.
this is the all potential squad. I think that this is the highest upside of any roster in the SPL right now. They could do really, really dangerous things. This is a squad that I could easily see fighting for a top three, top of the middle, and being, I could see this team taking games off of anybody in the league. And that's a really dangerous thing as you're at LAN. There's not a lot of teams where I could say I could see them taking games off of everybody else. Renegades, if they meet what I see in them, they're going to be dangerous. And I don't think they're going to get, at least from the casual fan base, I don't think they'll get the respect that they need or deserve based on the individual achievement of the players. So the biggest wild card, I will say, is going to be that Dardez mid. Is he going to bring the same flair, the same ability that Big Man did? I don't know. I can only hope so. But this Renegades roster, I hope they get a coach, and I hope they can really turn it on and show up and perform and not pull another SK Funball. Please, I need you to win a game for me, buddy. Please.
I'll end it off with, I think that this is the biggest question mark team here of what can they do. I think that's the biggest way to describe this team is, we know what they're all capable of. We've seen what they can do. What are they going to do now that they are together on land? I think calling this team the question mark, not even the dark horse, the question mark team is probably the best way that I can describe this team.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. Next up, we've got Team Rival coming with a whole new roster. Arkle ADC, Polar Bear Mike support, Panda Cat mid, Cat and Twig jungle, Final K solo, and Slaney as coach. Ooh, boy, honey. Yay. Child, this roster. J-Mac, what do you got?
So I'm going to lead it off with, I don't know if you ever saw my Twitter post that I did on this, but I was part of a Smite Fantasy League last split. And Arkle, Twig, and Final K were all on my fantasy squad. And they all did really well for me. The only person who I couldn't get, obviously, would have been Panda Cat, and I missed my chance for Polar Bear because of, you know, drafting order and things like that and where my priority shifted. But I originally had these three players, and they were all three my top pick for their roles. So for me personally, even last split, I saw the potential for those players together on a singular team. I'm excited to see where this roster plays out. For me, the biggest question is going to be Panda Cat moving from Hunter to mid. That's where I'm going to have like kind of the biggest what's going to happen. But for me,
he's been a very aggressive hunter. Do you think he can slow it down and not be a very aggressive? So he's got the aggression level, and you've seen it for years now, of an AVGL of a collegiate level mid. Can he tone that down and keep himself in check?
I think that he, now that he knows how to play aggressive, I think that he'll know how to know when he needs to take it off the gas pedal for a little bit, you know, kind of pump the brakes sometimes. I think that that's a thing that we see a lot is sometimes you just don't know how to play the early game. You sit back, you lose the lane, you're like, well, what do I do for now? I think that the players who are super aggressive have the best opportunity to tone it down. We saw it with Zapman. He went from being, you know, the meme of, it's just the Zapman play. You just run in, you jump in the middle of five, you get a kill, and you go, all right, cool, I did it. I think that that's where what we can see here out of Panda is he could make the big one-up in-your-face plays, but he can also tone it back some. I think that that's where we're going to see the big question is how he makes that transition from being the aggressive player to having to kind of tone down some.
Slaney's making a really good point here. Baskin was aggressive in the mid.
Yeah.
And Baskin was the best in the world. So is it going to, do you think we'll see another fish to water scenario? You know, we had a bunch of players all kind of go into mid. Baskin made the quickest adjustment, right? Met Yankee took, I think, the longest. And then we had, other players not do as well. Andister. But, you know, do you think that Panda going to the mid from the ADC role, do you think there's as many question marks there
as we do have around the entirety of like Renegades roster. Do you think there's more question marks with Dardez going mid or with Pandacat going mid?
More for Dardez, I would say. I think if there's any person in any role transitioning from into that has the least questionability is Hunter to mid, because Hunters are viable mid. I think that that's why I'm not so bummed out and like, oh man, I don't know how this is going to work when you take a Hunter player and you put him in the mid role, because they're the fun joke around it is, oh, if you can't hit basics, play mid, just play mages. But these guys can hit basics and they can hit them very well. Why not throw them into the mid lane where they don't have to, but they can as a Hunter? We've seen very successful Hunter mids. You know, we have Neats, Medusas, Chirons, all these Hunters that can play well mid. Chernobogs, we've seen a lot of the time in the mid lane. Give this man the shot for it. I think Pandacat has the potential. But for me and a lot of people that I've talked with, a lot of players, they know that I like to jump on this train very often. I think I've even had it with you before. I am so sick and tired of these casters, and I'm throwing Hindu under the bus for this one, for ranking Final K at such a low spot, because Final K is one of the best consistent solo laners in the gosh darn world, and nobody is paying attention to it. And they're ranking him so low. He has some of the most potential for breakout of any solo laner here. If you look back at his season four, I believe,
his
is
rookie,
when it was.
Well, his rookie year or his second year?
I think four was his official rookie year.
Okay.
I think season four was when he made his rookie year here. When you look at that Hercules play, that's where I'm looking as that's his breakout. When he had the Hercules game and everybody's going crazy, and I like to call it, he was picking apples out of a tree on Hercules every time. Pluck, pull, pluck, pull, pluck, pull, right into the team. They die. That's how that game went. It was Final K walks in, he knocks up one, pushes them to the team, they die. That level of Final K was not possible on some of these other rosters. And I think that when you put him with this team, Captain Twig, who we've known to call the supportive jungler, who can play the setup for his team. When you have Pandacat, who wants to play more aggressive, and you throw him with Final K, who can't. When you put him with Arkle and PBM, who know how to run those lanes better than almost any other players out there. I think that this is finally Final K's year for people to stop just stepping over him when it comes to looking at him. I'm excited for this team rival team because of, I think it's a lot of players who are finally getting their shot with a team that deserves them.
So where do you rank this team? Where do you see this one falling out? Where is their rank among the pack?
Top three. Not number top one, three. Not number two, not number three exactly, but I'm putting these guys top three.
I can't disagree there. This is such a strong roster. Again, the biggest question mark being Pandacat mid. Is he going to take to it as a fish to water? Don't know. If he does, this team is just insane. It's incomprehensible. This on paper is a stronger squad to me than the Pittsburgh Knights. I believe in this team rival squad. I think that they can go a long way, and they've got a coach. Slaney doesn't get a lot of love I feel like he deserves. He has kind of like Kabam kind of overshadowed him this last year. AJ's kind of always overshadowed him. You know, Roe even kind of did, but Biggie doesn't get a lot of attention either, and that kind of blows my mind. But Slaney, from his work with Noble, if you look back, as soon as they added him, they turned it around and started winning games and playing better. You know, he was with CLG this year, and you know, Final K had nothing but amazing things to say about him. And you know, while CLG kind of didn't live up to the hype of like what that roster should have, I don't think that's on him. I think that's more on players. You could just see the players not executing. I think they had a lot of good ideas, and I think Slaney set him up in a lot of ways. I think Slaney and Polar Bear Mike and Final and Cat, there's just so many pieces you add together. I'm going to go ahead and say that I think this is a top two team right off the bat. I think this potentially is your number one team in in the world of Smite as long as Panda Cat can perform in mid. I have a lot of faith in this roster
if
that
Panda
I don't
can
have in a lot of others.
If Panda can be the next Baskin, I can agree that this might be the number one team, if not at least the number two team here. That's why I have to leave it at a top three spot for them. Is I'm ready to see this potential with Panda Cat and the way that this jungle solo and jungle mid mesh together. I think that Captain Twig has a lot of great gods in his repertoire here. We've seen that he can be the carry, or he can just pull back and let his team do the work. He can be the setup to let somebody else be the star of the show here. I think that my best saying for this team was, this is the team that each of these players deserve to really shine this season.
Absolutely. This is the squad to watch.
Now, one thing that was mentioned on Twitter was when all the casters went over this team, Slaney didn't get mentioned here. I don't know what the reason was. I don't know if there was something that caused them from not being able, or if they forgot, but they're criminally messing up by not talking about what Slaney did for CLG and how Slaney is going to be able to perform for this team as well. Slaney, you have done some insane work over this last season, and I know that he has the shot to make it for this team and really bring these guys up to the top.
Yeah. Again, just any coach automatically adds value. And then I truly believe Slaney has kind of made his mark as a top coach in this league. I view him just in the same light that I view Biggie and Kabam and Alpha Jackal. This is a roster that you build. Like if you're playing any sports game, you're playing FIFA, you're playing, you know, NBA 2K, or you're playing Madden. This is the team that you like, the fantasy team you make that can never happen, except it did happen. So I'm very excited to see this up. Next up is my other top two team. I'm calling it now. Dignitas, which is Ataraxia, Trix Tank, Hurrywind, Cuvo Fred, Variety, and Biggie as their coach. A lot of people are going to look at this roster and see Hurrywind and go, you couldn't have done better than Hurrywind. And I think to an extent, okay, I see your point. I mean, Dignitas has had zeros the last 2 years. But then I think that answers the question. They've had zeros the last 2 years. And it didn't work. Zeros, you could say, was right there with Baskin as best mid in the world. You know, what does he bring? How does he perform? But the synergy aspect. Zeros is a very emotional guy. And he just... it didn't work with that squad, right? So you bring Hurrywind. Hurrywind is a guy over this entire last year. I don't think once that I can really remember he lost his team a game. Maybe he did. I don't remember it. He won his team a couple games. But a lot of the time, he showed up, did his job, and you couldn't say really anything negative about Hurrywind. And I think that's exactly what this squad needed. They needed a mid who would facilitate everybody else. You need the Veninu. Veninu can fit into any roster and do what you ask of him. Hurrywind's going to do the same. The way that I describe Hurrywind, and this, you either get it or I'm an idiot, is that Hurrywind is a rich man's Nulissa. They show up, they do their job, they can have amazing games. Not a lot of them that they usually don't. They both have really, really strong Yanis games, but they don't lose you the game. And that was like Nulissa's biggest thing, is like the pop-off factor, right? She didn't really bring that. She could, you know, play Yanis and win, but you know, when you're a one trick like that, you don't last long. I think Hurrywind has a god pool that lets him expand beyond the one trick, and I think Hurrywind is going to fit in with the squad so nicely. I mean, this is kind of like the exact opposite of the Pittsburgh Knights problem. Like, you got Ataraxia, Trick Stinks, Cuvo, Variety. These are all guys who are gonna, you know, you've got the emotion there. But then you've also got leadership as well. These are guys who can pull themselves up. These are guys who can talk.
These are, you know, adding Nate to this roster is going to be huge. It's that calming effect, that leadership, that veteran presence. And that's like, and these are all veteran guys. This is a roster that I think this could be the number one roster. I think my top two are Rival and Dignitas. What do you think, J-Mac? Am I crazy? Am I taking crazy pills? Am I sipping the Kool-Aid too hard?
I think you may have spiked your Kool-Aid a little bit much tonight. I don't know what's in that Shiner beer. I don't know what's in the Shiner that you had earlier today. I'm not going to say that they're not a good team by any means. I'm looking, and this is what's my deciding factor, is I'm looking at the entirety of this team's land performance previously. And that's why I can't put them as a top team just yet. I'm keeping this team as a mid-pack for me because I know what these guys can do. We've seen what all these players are capable of. We know just how good they are, how diverse their rosters are, and for Nate, how fun his builds like to be as well sometimes, where he brings something that no other hunters have ever really brought in this game, which is diversity amongst the build, whether it be throwing an Ankhile in the middle, going up against the mage ADC, or, you know, whatever item he may throw in to kind of diversify. I have to see how they perform on land comparatively to seasons past, especially some of the core players of previous Dignitas. Dig has been one of the most struggling land teams of anybody out there. I'd say only maybe SSG have performed worse than them on land. And that, to me, is why I can't put them quite at the top just yet. I have to kind of keep this team as a watchful middle. I think that if it was the Zeros problem, and if Hurrywind was the answer to them, and, you know, changing out Arkle for Atta, for Nate here, if that was the answer, then yes, I can agree that this is probably a top two, top three team easily. But we have to see if it was Zeros being the problem, or if it was maybe Dig as a whole that was a problem for them, which is why I kind of have to leave them at that middle pack, the upper middle pack. I'm not putting them by any means on the lower end of this spectrum. I think that there are quite a few other teams, and we're about to talk about one of them that I do see at the lower end of it. These guys are definitely right now officially for me a mid pack with the rising potential. I can't put these guys anything lower than middle of the back.
All right. I'll ask you. Dignitas, so this Dignitas roster.
Right.
Do you see them below that E-United roster? Above or below E-United?
I see them.
I think you have to say above. There's no way you don't say above to that.
I see them right there on par with them at the moment. I can't say that they're above. I can't say they're below. I think that they're even with them. And we have to see if Zeros, as you mentioned previously, you thought that Zeros was the big problem for Dignitas. You think it's the Zeros curse? I think that we have to see if Hurrywind is the answer to this squad. Not even taking Arkle, because we know what Arkle is good. We know what Arkle can do. We have to see now what Hurry can do with this squad.
You're probably going to say Splice is above them because World Championship bias. I get that. So there's no use asking. Space Station, we got to say that they're above Space Station.
But the Space Station below them.
You think this
Space Station below them. No. When you said Space Station, I said below, meaning Space Station's below them. No, I don't think that Dig is below Space Station by any means.
You almost gave me a heart attack, son.
No.
Are they Space above Station or below SK?
I can't say that for sure. I think that
Come on, don't give me a cop-out. Follow your gut. Are they above or below SK?
I think with Nate versus Zapman, they're above SK.
Perfect. All right. Trifecta, above.
They're above Trifecta.
Pittsburgh Knights, with all of Pittsburgh's nice problems that we discussed, do you think on paper, I think you would probably say Knights are above, but in practicality, like that's the thing. Well, Dignitas, like that's a roster that can.
But again, we're looking at.
It's rough to call that.
Again, we're looking at weaker land performances from a lot of the players on Dignitas. Ever since Valencia, the core three of Dig haven't had the best land performance. We saw that Hurrywind was playing well, but he wasn't really the big standout for everybody on the CLG. He was definitely a top player on CLG along with Final K there. At the moment, I don't know if I can put Pittsburgh above or below them. I think right now, Pittsburgh, Dig, and who else did we have?
You said United.
And United. I think those are the three top middle pack. I think that those are the number like 3, 4, 5 squads here. I think that any of these teams can take that 3, 4, 5.
All right. So we've done enough discussing about the top here. Let's discuss the bottom team in the SPL, Luminosity. And it pains me. Joshi, ADC, Kiki, support, Ocean's mid, Mollusk jungle, and Zalia solo. This roster feels so piecemeal together, and I don't understand it.
I don't want to credit this to the whole Luminosity debacle, but I really feel that this was a case of, well, it's Luminosity. They're willing to pay. I guess I'll jump on. They kind of piece this. I think this is more pieced together than Trifecta. And if I'm being 100% honest, I kind of feel bad for Zalia. I think that Zalia really kind of got shafted with this squad. Kiki does not need to go back into support. I think that Kiki is a better mid and a better solo than he is a support, if I'm being honest. I don't know where Ocean's relevancy came through here. I would have rather seen Death Panther on this squad. I think that Death Panther would have brought a better mid than Ocean's. Where was Death Panther? Why was him and Lazbra not on Trifecta together as the mid jungle? Yeah. I don't know that. I don't know why the relevancy of Ocean's came back all of a sudden. I guess with Joshi, it was one of the better of that lower end that you could have brought together for the squad. But I think that this is a piece together squad that doesn't piece well together at all. And I will say this out now. Anybody out there can clip it, quote me, and then at the end of the season, make fun of me for it. I think Luminosity is the bottom squad in the SPL right now. The last seed.
Yeah. I think I agree. And it's hard to say that because, like, I look, if you put blinders on, you look at the players, right? It's like I look at Joshi, had a pretty good year down in SML. Maybe it's his time. Maybe he can shine, right? I don't want to, like, quarantine that away. I don't want to, like, banish that from the realm of possibility. Kiki, I like Kiki. I love Kiki. Me and Kiki.
I love Kiki.
Like, yeah, going back, like, every LAN I've been at with Kiki, I've loved it. We've hung out and everything. Like, I remember going out at like midnight to like Shake Shack and getting burgers. Like, it was great. Oceans is in that weird territory. Like, Oceans at one point had a lot of potential, was on the rise, and then never really capitalized on it. And so maybe Soul's coming back into the meta in a big way. We don't know about it yet. And then you got Mollusk. I like Mollusk. I think out of everybody on the squad, I think I'm most comfortable with Mollusk in the jungle there. I think he is probably one of the, right there with Sam, I think he's like the next wave of those junglers coming into the SPL.
I think for me, because we already knew, if we didn't know this and he didn't announce it, I would have rather have seen Cope here than Mollusk. But I know that because Cope already announced that he's not going to make the move and the move into SPL and land on all that because of, you know, work or studies or what may have been, I would have rather seen Cope on this squad than Mollusk. Because I think that Cope is probably the second best after Lazbra. But even still, I think him and Lazbra are very close together as far as the minor league junglers to make it to SPL. We saw what he could do against Weekend's team. And I think that Cope is a massive leader and driving force for his team. He is very emotional. We saw that. I got to experience it in person, how emotional that man is for his team and what he is capable of doing. The mountain of a man himself. I wish we could have seen Cope on SPL, but I think that after Cope is definitely Mollusk.
Yeah, so Mollusk here makes a lot of sense. And then Zalia, like you said, you feel bad for Zalia. I think Zalia, you know, had gotten the reputation of being kind of toxic in the SPL, being banished to streaming and ranked and everything. He did his grind. Obey picked him up and stuck with him. And I think he did really well. I think Obey just kind of got a rough cut of the deal, especially changes, you know, just a best of three instead of best of fives and things like that. You know, they could have done other things, but Zalea here, but you just look at them together. I don't see this squad.
I don't see any mesh
synergizing.
Anywhere. I don't see
any. It's hard to say that because I see both this Luminosity squad and this Trifecta squad as weaker than SK, who didn't win a game last year. And that's hard to say. I don't understand it. And we're sitting here and we're saying, like, hey, take chances. So I like the Josh and the Mollusk. And maybe Oceans fits well as well. Like, maybe Luminosity is making that chance. So, like, maybe it's a little bit hypocritical. But then there's like we know of other players who could have fit in these positions too. So it's hard to really go one way or the other.
For me, there's taking chances and taking risks, and then there's just, well, let's see kind of thing. You know, Mollusk is, I would say, yeah, giving him that chance, taking that risk with him. He's a great player. He has a lot of potential. I think putting him on a top level team can really show what he's capable of. Joshy, again, another case of it's taking a little bit of a risk.
I would say
more. I would say it's more right now taking a risk than seeing what he's capable of. Oceans, to me, I think he's past his prime. I think that when Oceans transitioned out of Hunter into mid was kind of that plateau for me. I wasn't really screaming Oceans' name out as a mid laner. I was screaming him as the Hunter, kind of that playmaker in that from the duo lane. I don't see it as much here in mid. I really think that Kiki going to support is going to hurt this team more than help. I think that Kiki's diversity, not only as a mid laner way back when, but especially last season as a solo laner, was one of the highlights of the old Luminosity team. I think that his diversity, his ability to do unconventional things and make it work, was what was so great for Kiki. I don't know if he's going to be able to pull the same thing off here in support, where it's still a little bit less conventional than we see. We've gone from the typical Guardians into the Warrior and the Assassin and Mage supports, and Kiki's very capable of doing so. But it's a little bit harder to kind of be that hidden carry from the support role compared to solo or mid.
Afro support, calling it now. We're gonna see it. Kiki's gonna revolutionize the support role with all the female picks.
We're gonna Ardeo, see Shadow
Terra part two.
we're gonna
it'll
see.
It'll be interesting. I don't know this roster. I
can't see it.
I can't look at that roster and say anything but bottom.
No.
And then I also look at Trifecta and I can't say anything else. Okay, but bottom. Both of those rosters, I don't see competing with Dignitas. I don't see them competing with Rival. I don't see them competing with Renegades. I don't see the Knights. SK, maybe SK because they're young. Space Station,
I can kind of, but still not as.
But that's much. Just because we're that's not saying anything about Luminosity and Trifecta. That's more saying like
that's saying
a lot about what we're saying about SSG.
Like, yeah, that's saying less of that.
We're thinking SSG is having a spot. And even then, like, I don't know. SSG does not have any problems with Luminosity or Trifecta. It's just not possible unless they fall off super hard. It's Splice, Unite. Like, none of those other rosters, none of the other eight other teams really feel like they can be threatened by Luminosity or Trifecta. Unless Trifecta, I feel like if they come out swinging, they can do it. But Luminosity, unless they lucked out on Joshy, Oceans, Mollusk all being the next big deals in Smite, I just don't see that roster really working out. And if we get to the end of the year with both rosters not making any changes to correct the ship, I'm going to be disappointed, I think, a little bit. You know, it's it sucks to say, but like, I love Kiki and I like Zalea and Mollusk and those guys, and I want to see them succeed, but
And with it being all land-based, we say, you know, we want to see changes. That's another kind of topic. Are we going to see any roster changes? Because it would require you to move down to Atlanta. And then what do you do with the other player? They just move back home? How does that work? So for all intents and purposes, we might as well move forward. These are the rosters that'll be at the end of the year. These are the rosters we'll see trying to fight for Worlds, the World Championship, because barring trades, I don't think we're going to see any changes. I think that's how you change your roster right now. It's going to be trades. And I just don't know. We'll see. So, all right, I'm going to ask you, give me your top three teams. We went over them all right now. You know, only four teams have a coach: Splice, Pittsburgh Knights, Rival, and Dig. Who do you see at the top for this season?
Am I going in order or just my top three in general?
Just give me your top three in general. We'll go with that.
Rival and Splice for sure are my top two. And at the moment, I'm torn between Pittsburgh and E-United. And I'm leaning a little bit more towards E-United, I would say, right now.
Really?
I think so. I think I'm leaning a little more towards E-United in my top three.
I don't... As far as strength goes, I Rival right there. I really like... I think I have to kind of include Pittsburgh as much smack as I'm talking about. And that is such a strong roster at the end of the day.
So they're Knights back and Rival, forth so much for me between those two.
Yeah, I have those two right up there. And then I really do like that Dignitas squad. But how do I put them above Splice, right? Until proven differently, I've got to put Splice. So I guess mine would be Splice, Knights, and Rival. But Dignitas right there, Renegades right there, United right there. Like there's so much competition right there, but
so hard.
100%, I think Rival, Knights, and Splice would probably be, and you know, if Splice hadn't just won world, I don't know that I would put them there, right? But
right,
seeing what they have done, I have to give them that nod. I have to give them respect and put them right there. Even if I still don't believe the Knights win worlds, I still have to say that I think they do a really good job at, like, you know, the land portion of the season, the regular season. I think they do a really good job. Oh, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting season. Outside of the top, I think we've kind of talked about this already, but like which roster do you see as having the most, which roster is the most interesting for you, and for what reason?
I honestly want to say Rival, and it's going back to my original quote for this team being, this is the team that each of these players deserve to make them shine the brightest. I think that these are all players who can and have shown that they are of a top competing team. We've seen what Arkle did. We know that PBM's a world champion. We've seen what Panda can do as a hunter. Now moving into mid, we know that Twig is always a top contending jungler. And we know that Final K has the potential to be a top solo. But finally, I think we're bringing a team of people who needed that little something to make them all tick. And I think that this is finally the roster to do it. For me, Rival is the most interesting one.
I don't necessarily disagree. I think Rival really embraced the whole idea of NA and EU coming together, no regions, everything like that. I don't know. I think I gotta say my most interesting roster, the one out of all of them I am most interested to see
what just happens is Renegades, the Funball, Raffer, Dardis, Terry Onika roster, because that there's no other roster in the SPL this next year that could be a top team or a bottom team like they are. There's like there's no in between. They either crush it or they get crushed. And so it'll be really interesting to just see what they bring. This is a team that could almost be, you know, a carbon copy of what Mouse was right at the throughout like the year. There are stupid experimentations and everything, but I think this is maybe a squad that then makes it work more. Like if you, Dardis will always get the benefit of the doubt for me. If Dardis goes, I want chalk mid, and I'll be like, all right, Dardis, you do you. I'll support you in this. Like, you know, like Nika's had a really great year. Cherio's had an amazing year. I think Raffer had a rebuilding year because he had a down year the year before. Funballer has consistently been a great player. That the Renegades roster, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people. And I don't think a lot of people are going to put stock on it. And I really think they should. I think that is a team. Back in the day in NASPL, I always looked at like the Noble roster. And it was Wowie and Skeledon and those guys. I always kind of highlighted them, you know, year after year, split after split, as like they're my dark horse. I think they could do a lot. And then, you know, there was that, you know, as soon as Slaney came on, they started making waves. They made the land. They almost won it. They came very close. You know, Wubbin stopped making Wubbin decisions and started playing the game at a smart high level. And I think the Renegades is like my next version of that, where I feel like they can do a lot and surprise a lot of people. So it'll be interesting. All right, we've done our top or most interesting. Which roster do you hate the most, J-Mac?
Luminosity. I'm going to leave it short and sweet, LG.
LG, because it just feels slapped together. It does, like, I don't look at those players and like, oh, that it makes sense that those players are together at your on your roster, right? So I don't know. It'll be interesting. But I think that's it. So, you know, next week we'll be talking about season 6. Maybe minor league teams will be announced. There's like been one or two that have been announced so far, but there's not enough to really talk about. Next week we'll try to have an interview as well. On top of all this, we just didn't really schedule even one because we knew we could just talk forever about it. So that'll be it for us this week. I hope you guys enjoyed the Battleground. We will see you next week on the Battleground. Goodbye, everybody.